Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcast presents The Traitors. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And we are halfway through season two of The Traitors. It is the gift that keeps on giving. Last night, we were treated to more bluffing, backstabbing and treachery. Contestants were sent grave digging to try and add money to the prize pot. But it was Paul who later slipped in front of Jazz and he started digging his own grave and potentially Harry's as well. I'm obsessed with the tweet that I saw this morning from someone on X called Mrs. Griff renaming Jazz to Jazzatha Christie. I was like, epic. In the challenge, Miles was giving Homer Simpson in a bush. Anthony and Diane were giving everything they've got. They killed it. But it was Ant who was too on the money and he was later banished. The traitors were tasked with a secret mission to murder in plain sight. And after finally finding a poisoned chalice hidden in that book, it was shoved beside Macbeth, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was Macbeth and Othello and one other one.
Fair is foul and foul is fair. Well, Miles turned that water into wine and I should say fizzy rosé to be exact. And he served Diane with a sip of death. But will our queen have a resurrection? That's the question we all want answered. Brendan has got your thoughts and theories in a bit. And Hannah is here with your recap. First though, guys, how are we?
Oh, all good. I love a little Saturday morning record. And like, just to like be right on theme, I was listening to Claudia Winkleman on BBC Radio 2 just before we started. It was a really nice start to the morning. It's Claudia's husband's birthday today, by the way. So happy birthday to that man.
Happy birthday to Claudia's husband.
Happy birthday. What's his name? Do we know?
Dermot O'Leary said it really quickly. I missed it. But Claudia said she's had 9 slices of cake and her husband has had none.
Glass. Does Claudia say anything about the traitors on the show?
She didn't this morning, but she normally does chat about it. And I'm wondering, so she announced, I think it was before Christmas, she announced that she is leaving her Radio 2 show, right? So I'm wondering if The Traitors is going to become like more of a thing, as in we might get more than one series a year, potentially, maybe, and I know this divides people's opinions, but maybe a celebrity version. I just wonder why she's stepping away from the radio. Is it to dedicate more time to the traitors? And I also
I
hope so too. And do you know what I initially said when we discussed the whole celeb series? I was like, nah, not for me. I would like to watch one. I'd love to see one.
I'd love to see a celebrity season of The Traitors. I know Celebrity Big Brother is coming back and, you know, that's always good. But there's something different about The Traitors. Sometimes people just don't get their hands dirty on their shows and we want to see them lying and deceiving and all that jazz. It would be brilliant to see a celebrity version.
And I'm thinking that Claudia is probably going to... So I think she's due to finish in like end of January, February time. So I wonder, will she finish on her last radio show be the show where she has the finalists in? Do you remember like she did it last year?
Oh, that'd be great. Those?
So that'd be a really nice way for her to finish.
Absolutely. And Hannah, quick question. Any update on the red clamped car?
No, but it is my job for next week. And I just to give context to this... I'm pregnant. We announced that a couple of weeks ago. Also renovating a house. Two things I would like strongly recommend you do with at least 5 years in between.
Fair.
I just had to jump off the podcast there.
In between.
5 years to answer the phone to a tiler who wants to leave, but he needs to let the carpenter in and he can't leave. I'm up
to here. Is this my gynecologist or my grouter? I don't know.
at this stage, Brendan, you would know. So, no, that's on my list for next week. We have a nice gap. I'll ring them back. We did try and ring them yesterday, but they didn't answer again. So I need to drop in and I need to find the physical time to do that. So that is just, everyone's going to have to hold their breath over the weekend and we'll have an update for next week.
You're going to have to do a desk drop detective, do you know?
I think I'm going to have to desk drop detective into the business and just figure it out, which I'm willing to do.
You're going to be like Kirsten Longacre going in pregnant, risking life and limb.
Brendan, this is it. And me telling the woman to stay at home and I'm off doing my own investigations. So yeah,
listen,
that's
we never take
week.
Our own advice, do we?
No, but we're actually moving house on Friday. So I have 6 more days driving past this car. So we do really need to ramp up the investigation. So leave it with me, guys.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we're really excited to hear all on Wednesday's podcast. Hannah, fair play to you. You're up the walls, but I think you're going to solve some sort of murder in the meantime as well. Busy week for you. And you also have done the recap for last night's episode. Take it away, bitch.
Thanks so much. So we opened with a gorgeous cover of The Verb. There was a few fabulous covers last night now, and I'm just really impressed by the music budget that they've got this season. It's breakfast then and everyone arrives in. Charlie says, actually now, that Ross controls the narrative at the round table, and that's given her a bit of a question mark over him. So he's kind of coming to the forefront as a bit of a dominant voice. And, you know, when that happens, you're in the spotlight and it's trouble, baby. Okay, so Ross hopes Diane hasn't been murdered, obviously, because that's his own mother. And he actually tells Charlie that he's getting to know her. But at the start, he thought she was actually quite stern and horrible.
I love that he said that. He's like, I thought she was quite stern and nasty at the start, but I'm warming to her. I was like, that's your own mother.
Screaming, guys.
Mother.
They're literally beside each other constantly. Last night's episode, every time I saw them, the two of them are joined at the hip. I was like, separate, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for the reveal, though. So we get Diane, Harry and Anthony in the door, and we find out then that Tracy is gone. Wonder, did she see that coming? So their reasoning for getting rid of Tracy then, we see, is that she can't be linked back to any of them. They basically picked her because she's flying under the radar and it's just really going to confuse everyone, which it kind of does.
Did she say here that she thinks she was picked because she's clairvoyant?
She did, Rebecca, she said, and I actually have the quote, this is what I get for seeing people's auras and being psychic. And
woman, you couldn't even
said,
tell someone's star sign, pet.
She, do you know what I mean? She didn't see her own murder coming, let alone anyone else's.
In Tracy's defence, sometimes people have, you know, like a rising sign or they might be on the cusp or whatever. So listen, she did sniff Ash out. So I think now Tracy does be seeing the auras.
Do you know what? She might have seen a lot of auras off camera. We didn't get to see much of that on camera.
It's a very old castle.
Yeah, but she has gone. She also said she was going to be. She was like, look, I was about to be really helpful to the traders. So we obviously just didn't get to see full Tracy.
Well,
you could
have been helpful earlier, love.
Yeah, well, just that's on us. So Diane and Ross are sitting beside each other at the breakfast, and Diane then says in a talking head section that she's very suspicious about how she keeps getting saved. And I mean, she's starting to turn against her own son.
I loved that.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
So Zach then tells Anthony, we're still at breakfast, that the traitors got rid of Tracy because she was suspicious of him. Anthony, who loves the chess move, thinks that's very clever, and how they might use that murder to sort of put the spotlight on Anthony for a potential banishment. We call that two birds, one stone. So Claudia then arrives to give the group a very stern and very camp talking to, and she tells them then that the mission will be that night and reminds them that the current faithful to traitor ratio is 7-1. It is not looking good.
Not great odds, no.
No,
the odds are actually so bad that I'm like I need to speak to, what's like a person that does odds? There's like a long word for that person that has that job.
Oh, not somebody who works at Actuary, yeah.
Excuse me. God, I'm shocked that came out of my face. An Actuary, because I'm like, are the odds actually so bad against them that they are... Like, are they have to have got more traders.
But
at this
I guess
point,
from the start,
right?
So you've 22 people and only 3. I know we'd 4 for a time, but like it's 3. You've got to find 3 out of 22. I don't even know why I'm starting the sentence because I can't do any maths. But like there's 22 people and only 3 of them.
And three times seven is 21. So does that make sense? 7 to 1
then? The Faithful are not doing a good job this season. That's just it. That's they're being played like fiddles by Paul.
Yeah, but also the Faithful are really not doing a good job because I don't think that the Traitors are doing a good job either. They're all walking around banging into each other.
Yeah, but they're still in there.
Mm.
We'd love an actuary to send us a voice note. So we get a break-off group then because everyone just has a free afternoon. So Anthony then reveals that he's looking at Zach 100%. And I'm a little bit let down by Anthony because he was the one I was most excited about and he's just looking in the wrong direction. Harry can't believe that he's getting away with murder. And I don't think any of us can either because he's probably playing the best game in there at this point. No one is looking at him.
Yeah. But guys, Paul's already planting seeds. Like Paul wants that money all for himself. He is already planting seeds. Well, he slipped up with Jazz and then he's planting seeds about miles after the mission as well. I mean, Jesus Christ, that man is busy. Kris Jenner works hard, but Paul works harder.
I agree with you. I think Miles is in danger, girl.
I thought Miles was playing an amazing game until the mission in this episode. Like he'd done it perfectly up until that point.
The man just didn't want to run, and that's just it. That was his prerogative. It's absolutely Miles reminded me of being a traitor or Faithful.
He reminded me of myself in secondary school when PE was on. I mean, I came up with every excuse under the sun. I was like,
I'd gammy toe every week. Not a hope. Yeah.
Oh, we'll get into it. But at the start, I thought it was really clever, and then I actually realised everyone that was running around was fuming with him. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so in another break-off group, they're looking at Andrew. And Ross says that they're giving the traders way too much credit. So they're trying to sort of think two steps ahead when the traders are kind of winging it, which I agree with. And Ross is becoming a very interesting player for me indeed. Diane is also going to go for Andrew. I wanted to ask you guys what you think about this, right? Mm. But why do they always focus on one person? They're always only thinking about Andrew. They're not thinking about, now, Andrew, but I see him talking to Zach a lot. So what if we go for Andrew? Like, they're just...
I'd say it's probably the edit. It's too much. There's 24 hours of conversations to cut down into one episode. And I'd say, like, the producers are probably like, okay, so for this episode, we're going to focus on the conversation surrounding this person. It's not that that's what everyone was focusing on that day. But they're like, let's just focus on... the Andrew conversation today. Let's focus on the Diane conversation tomorrow. I'd say otherwise, if you were talking about 22 people in 58 minutes, you'd be like, huh?
I don't especially, know. You know, like Johnny last episode, it kind of did seem like that whole thing came out of nowhere, but probably that conversation had happened loads, but then they just focused on it. You know, you kind of always, not in a bad way, they had to fit in a reaction to being murdered at the breakfast. Then they had to fit in a mission and then like, you know, a conversations and banishment, you know, into an hour every night. I think we just don't see half of it.
Yeah, no, or I think you're right. No, I totally agree, you guys. Thanks. Cleared that up for me. Okay, it's nighttime mission time and we are off to the Traitors Cemetery. There's 10K on the line. So the contestants need to use tools scattered around a very smoky graveyard to dig for gold. One grave has a shield in it. Some graves have more gold than others. And then they need to deposit their gold in Claudia's wheelbarrow. However, the twist is they must avoid being caught in the security spotlights, which are shining all over the grave. And they have 15 minutes to do it. So Charlie, Andrew, Molly and Jazz are caught out quite quickly. Miles, who couldn't understand why everyone saw him as a leader in the last mission, led this mission by guiding people away from the
light. The woman in the window.
And I had written this before people on the ground started to turn against him. Harry and Paul were basically like, this isn't helpful at all. And he's clearly not ours with the task. So like, I think like Faithfuls are going to think like, oh, like he's just not arsed. The two traitors that he needs to keep on side are sick of him, and we know when they turn against you, they'll get you out.
Yeah.
And Paul then said it was making it a bit obvious that he was a traitor and didn't care about being.
He's just so like, man, I'm not going to get killed. I'm not arsed. Like,
did he
think
that he was genuinely being helpful? I wonder. Like, did he actually think that it was a helpful thing to do?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Like, why else would he join him? Yeah. Was he just honestly that? Like, surely even if you're not that arsed, you would still attempt. Okay,
I
so
fell asleep
Diane...
for the whole challenge last night, and I keep seeing loads of tweets from people. Being
you were
like,
that meme
every time the mission comes on. I'm like, fancy a cuppa, you know, like the amount of memes about people just switching off when the missions are on. It's really because you do get some insight into people. But I fell asleep, and I tell
you were the Bette Lynch meme.
I literally was resurrected, Evanescence, bring me to life the second the round table started. It was like my body knew. I was screaming. I was like, oh, here we go.
But you have rewatched it, just for clarity.
Oh God, I know. I went back and did that this morning. I had to go and just rewatch the Grave Challenge, and then that's when I realised that Miles hadn't done anything until
the
there was, I think, 7 minutes to go or something, and he was like, "All right, here, I'll start.
I'll do a lap."
And sort of in complete opposite to Miles, Diane was flying around, tiny little
God.
Woman.
I wonder if she a sports teacher.
Oh, she was some
maybe.
Better. She joined the PE on the side. She
Do you know
was
what, guys? I thought about this with Diane potentially gone now and with Anthony banished as well. Like, they're not going to win as much money in the challenges. Like, they're getting rid of the people who are really giving their all in the challenges. There's so many layers.
Johnny was
layers.
Winning them so much money.
So much money.
Yeah.
So it's a,
That's
it is a shame.
Said. Anthony said it, and he was good in the challenges as well. Harry said it in the last episode. He's like, we do keep getting rid of really good faithfuls. And I think Harry's clever because he'll look at getting rid of good faithfuls as a negative for him, because he needs them to win money in the challenges as well. Mm. And they've got rid of a lot of like physically strong and fit people. Okay, so Ant and Zach, two frenemies, are the last two people that remain in the challenge when everyone else has been kicked out by the lights. Jasmine grabbed another shield. Good for her. Go, girl. Harry, Andrew, Paul and Ant. So this is when they're coming back in the cars, which for the people that skip the missions, these bits are good because you do get a lot of intel and insight about what people are thinking going into the round table. So that Jeep is just bitching about Miles to the high heavens. And Zach and Anthony sort of reveal that they're going to go for each other over the round table, which is lit. Later, when they're back in the castle, Zach goes to Yasmin with his worries that everyone is going for him. And she's like, look, I've got you, but people are going to go for you because you have really wild theories and you're really like spreading your thoughts throughout the castle.
They seem quite close, like they have done for a while.
Yeah.
It's a shame that I suppose maybe Zach and Anthony, personality wise, maybe they are quite similar. It's just a shame that they didn't join forces because they could have taken down.
Yeah, they just clashed.
They just clashed, yeah. Yeah, which
I'd
is a
love
shame.
To see more people join forces, but as you said, we just don't get to see it in the edit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, so it's round table time. The red gloves are back. Claudia walks in. We've got £49,050 in the prize pot. It's huge. So Charlie kicks things off and starts questioning Ross over voting for Johnny. Okay, Harry is going for Zach and Ross rows in with him. Diane is going to go for Andrew and Charlotte agrees. And Jazz is going for Paul. Second night in a row, he's going out on his own for Mr. Popular. He's backing himself and I'm here for it. We actually got quite a big Jazz episode, so I'm thrilled for the man. Jasmine says that Anthony has changed from the first day. They're obsessed. I don't know. He was obviously a different man on the train platform. But I saw a brilliant tweet that people need to remember, and we might have it coming up later, that like he is a chess coach. Like he is going to get in there and be different because the game has started.
Yeah,
like,
but I think everyone's
going
to be different because the game has started. Like everyone, you're on the train platform, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in season two of like the fucking biggest TV show. So excited. Choo, choo, choo. Harry Potter land. Then you get there. Then shit gets real. Everyone's demeanor is going to change.
Of course.
Like,
exactly.
Of course. Yeah.
Choo, choo, choo. This is it. Okay, so Anthony is very sassy in his defense of himself and he keeps saying 8-1 down. And I mean, the man isn't wrong.
No.
And this is the kind of like this plea that we've been asking for people to do it a bit stronger and just be like, if you get rid of me, you're getting rid of a faithful 8-1 down.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved it. But look, people find him confusing. Now, what I thought was fascinating about this round table is that Harry supports Anthony. I think he's a little genius. So when Anthony is like, look, you're going to get rid of a faithful, you're going to be 8-1 down, obviously it's really easy for Harry to go, right, I'm going to write Ant down in my plaque and get him out the door. But he comes in and he's like, look guys, I think you're wrong, we need to look somewhere else. Very clever.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good. He's not too desperate to just get rid of that person. He already knew he was going, though, I think. I think he was like, right, everyone's going to vote for him. I'm going to plant the seed for the next person. Who did Harry vote for? Andrew, was it?
Do I have it written down? I can't remember. Well, he didn't go for Ant, so he must have gone for Andrew. I don't think I have it, but maybe someone can remind me. Okay, so it's time to vote. We've got a few upside down slates. I mean, we love to see them. The votes are mostly split between Anthony, Andrew and Zach. Now, in complete opposition to what Harry's just done, Paul votes for Jazz. And the only reason he does it is because Jazz has voted for Paul. And it's like, just row in behind everyone else and go with someone popular. Like, why? It's so petty. Charlie goes for Ross. Anthony gets the majority of the votes and he's fuming. Ross talks about wanting to observe more. Yeah. So he was actually quieter at this round table. And I think that's after the comment Charlie made at the breakfast about him being quite vocal.
Anthony really doesn't take it well. Like when Jasmine turns her slate around and she's like, Anthony, he rolls his eyes. And she's like, yeah, mature mate.
Oh, there was high drama and I absolutely loved it. So Anthony is banished. They're wrong again. It is indeed 8-1 down. Then Harry does this other genius move where he just announces that, like, guys, I just really don't feel like we're a team anymore. And like, I didn't want to banish Anthony. And then Charlotte's like, sorry. Charlotte apologizes to him.
Yeah, I thought it was like, a very sly move. Yeah.
It's so, so good. We then later see Paul confront Jazz for rallying votes against him. And we really see the cult leader at work. He's like, look, we need to team up here. You're going to fuck it up if you vote for me. And he's got him cornered into a corner.
I think
and
he tried too hard, though.
He should have taken a breath after the round table. He has his back up too much. He went over and then he started spilling out. Oh, Harry told me that you said this. And I was like, Paul, this is the first time we've seen him make, I know with the dungeon situation, him inserting himself in, but this is a boo-boo. Like he did not mean to, he doesn't realize how smart Jazz is. He's underestimating him.
Yeah, Jazz is onto him. Like this has like doubly confirmed it for Jazz now. But Jazz is now playing Paul twice as much as Paul is playing Jazz.
Yeah, Jazz is honestly my favourite at the moment because I'm like, yes, hashtag the Paul downfall. I'm just not a fan. Okay, so this then results in Jazz being a little bit suspicious of Harry because he's like, why did I tell Harry something in confidence that Paul now knows? And he's just connecting it all together. And
he's
like,
when did they talk
Jazz.
About that too? Like, because he was saying that to Harry at the very end of the night as well. So I'm like,
the cleverest thing Harry could have done is rewind to like just after Jazz spoke to him. I think it was the last episode in the kitchen when he was like, if I get murdered tonight, it's Paul. Harry went back to Traitor's Turret Tower, whatever it's called, and said to Paul, oh, if we murder Jazz, he thinks it's because you're a traitor. Harry didn't need to say that. He could have just been like, oh, I think we should vote for Jazz, murder Jazz, have Paul banished at the next round table.
See, Harry wants Paul with him till the end and then he's going to fuck him under the bus.
Yeah, he
That's
will.
What
he
I
needs
think.
Him there for a bit longer, I think,
yeah,
because,
okay.
But true, like that, Jazz is on to both of them now. Mm. And I really hope that they don't. I think we know that it's not going to be because of the Chalice situation. I really hope Jazz can try and find certain bonds in there to spread the message. But it's hard because I don't know who he's close to, and the bigger personalities are all going. So it's hard to know.
I think Harry will use Paul to kick Miles out, and then he'll turn on Paul himself. Mm. Okay, so we see a Diana's mother moment where she kind of sits Jazz and Paul down and she's like, now, we'll have no more voting for each other. We're just going to get on and apologise to each other and we're not voting for each other anymore.
She was really giving me, you know, when you get on an Aer Lingus flight and there's the one mammy of the cabin crew and she was even dressed in like her Aer Lingus green. And I was like, oh, I want a little Aer Lingus mammy hug from Diane tonight. And it was that little talk of like, no more voting for each other now, guys. Okay. Chicken
just
or beef.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Remember when we were flying back from New York and I got in trouble with the Aer Lingus mammy,
well,
Brendan?
Yeah. You got pulled to the side and I was like, oh, what's going on here? It's like you're one of the special privileges. And then she came off the plane. She's like, you'll never guess what your one just said. Oh.
I was put behind a curtain in business class and I got a Diane talking
you
down
did.
To you. So that was, and honestly, I was shook. 7 o'clock in the morning. It was 9 o'clock somewhere else. It was awful. Me and my cheesecakes. Okay, so we then get this sort of moment from Jazz where he reveals his, I don't want to say sob story because that's really diminishing, but just a sad thing that's happened in his life. So yeah, basically his dad had a whole other family. And he was actually, not only did he have other children, he had grandchildren. And by the sayings of it, Jazz and his family only found out very recently. Mm. So he's kind of talking about how he knows how it feels to be let down and turned against like that. And he's really going through that. And he wants to use the prize money to help build his family back up a little bit into a stronger unit. So I'm so team Jazz. I thought that was very nice to share and very personal.
I'm glad we got to learn more about Jazz. And also, he's like, I can spot a liar. You know, Paul is Mr. Charming. Exactly. He's been really nice. And he's like, I'm not buying it with him. It's great to learn more about Jazz. And because I do still feel like there's quite a few contestants in there that we don't really know anything about.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
exactly. And they were obviously all cast for a reason and they all bring something to the table. And as you said, Jazz has now dealt with like someone who lied to him for years in a very intrinsic way. So he can sniff that out. And he also said that his dad was his hero. Mm. So, you know, while Paul is like very popular among the castle, that's not a reason not to look at someone, I think, as well. It just struck me at this point how late it must be because they did a nighttime mission. I think, Brendan, you said they film in September. So like the sun's not set until 10 o'clock. Mm. And then they've got to do their mission. They've got to get back. They've to do an hour and a half around table and then sitting around talking. It's honestly 3 o'clock in the morning. So no wonder everyone's feeling a bit delicate and revealing some home truths. So Harry, and they still have a sort of another side mission to do. Honestly, they must have been up all night. So Harry goes into the murdering room and he gets an envelope. And then all of the rest of the traitors do as well. And they're like, excuse me, they've got a secret mission. They've got a murder in plain sight. They've got to decide with their fellow traitors, without giving it away, which victim they're going to hand the poison chalice to. The poison chalice also needs to be recovered. It's hidden inside one of three Shakespeare books in the library. Then we get a shocking revelation from Diane that there's no wine left. And Miles and Paul...
That'd be me. I'm like, there's no wine left, guys.
And me. Someone gets up to get a drink and she says, well, there's no wine left. And Paul's like, I literally got my water bottle.
Diane was like, it's probably for the best.
Okay, so we'll obviously see how the mission plays out tomorrow night, but I thought it was a shit show. Miles and Paul literally run out the front door down to the fire pit.
No, guys, they were
how
flailing.
Did no one not see them? They were flailing. They were having a chat away from everyone, the three of them at the fire pit. Literally, it looked like a cauldron. They might as well be casting spells.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
And
couldn't agree more.
They looked really shady. They could have, if they wanted to just have, a conversation as three people hanging out as contestants and not as traitors, they could have like done it even more obviously. Like, like the way they scarpered to the fire pit and kept one stood up, Miles stood up looking, checking behind their backs. They just made it really obvious.
It was so stupid. I would have literally, say it was us three guys, my dream, I'd have literally been like, who's everyone voting for this? What are you thinking in the next round table? And then winked towards one. And then that would have been our victim decided.
I think I would have got someone to fake cry and then look like we were comforting them and the pressure's got to them and they've had too much. Harry's still emotional. Snuggle, snuggle. Go in there now and get the fucking thing out of the book there.
Get the fucking thing out of the fucking book.
Sorry, you say that you wouldn't be a good traitor. Jesus Christ.
Here's me just having some sort of stroke. In the,
I told you I'd be fucked out because I'd be like,
and then I would have done, I was thinking about this as well now, in the library, I would have been like, guys, to everyone, come on, we all just go sit in the library for somewhere different. And I would have just been perusing through the books now, and then I would have clocked it, and then I would have said, anyone want a bit of fresh air? And then I would have nodded to you, Brendan, and you would have gone back in and got it. Not fucking keep sketch at the door, the three traitors in the library.
With the door fucking half open.
Would you stop? Where is the book? They're in there for 40 minutes, Paul, running in there.
Oh, can you help me find my water bottle? Wink, wink. Like, what?
No, I was appalled, actually. Appalled. No pun intended.
Title of the episode, appalled.
Yeah,
excellent.
That actually
thank you.
Nailed it. Okay, so Zach is suspicious. I mean, Kel's the priest, the fucking like owl in the castle is suspicious. You're one with the... Yeah, exactly. So
the fringe is suspicious. The fringe, top of the deer.
The fringe on the deer's head is suspicious. We did get a gorgeous cover of that girl as poison, though, as they find the chalice. And Miles has been chosen as the one to hand it over because, quote, he's been drinking wine all night. So he's in the kitchen pouring drinks. And we see him. There's no wine left, as Diane announced earlier, but there is a fizzy rosé. And we see him pour that shite into that glass and hand it to Diane. And I thought it was all done for, but we don't see her drink it. And it cuts, and we're all waiting on a cliffhanger until next Wednesday.
Oh my God, Hannah, thank you for that recap. Wow, guys, just really quickly, what rosé did you think it was? Brendan, you're a real wine expert. What rosé was that?
It looks like that kind of mottled glass. Now, I'm not going to be offensive.
That's it, definitely is.
It's a cheap rosé, it's a cheapo. Guys. It's not. It doesn't cost much.
That's on the club card in Tesco now, and I know exactly
the one. It's kind of like...
The bottle has crisscrosses,
Exactly.
That's the one. I'd keep that as a candle holder, and then you're like, no, do you know what? This is $3.99.
You get it on the club card now. Take my points. I don't mind.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to have your thoughts and theories in a second, but what do we think?
Well, quickly first, we got a coming soon. So we actually see an incredible look from Claudia. They're going to do this, I think it's like a Victorian style funeral where they've got like the black horses and she's got this like 1940 style, which obviously isn't Victorian era.
Yeah, the drama of that.
Yeah, it looks stunning. And like, I think she's kind of in a, like it just looks steady. We then see tears and drama around the round table. We see Paul lying down into a coffin and... We're halfway there, guys, and we've still got loads to come. So that was an exciting look. What do you guys think?
That the flash forward to like the funeral kind of scene was sort of similar to, do you remember last year when they walked into the little chapel and all the masked faces turned around? We got the reveal that Kieran was there. And who was the other person? I can't remember his name.
I'm wondering, will we get...
Yeah, I can't remember his name though.
But they both returned.
I wonder will we get any of season one's cast as part of the funeral cortege. I just love a little nod, like just to see like Meryl and Wilf like stood there.
Or like Tracy and Sonia.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
So did you notice, and I don't know like if how the timeline works out here, but the whole idea was that the person had to drink from the chalice before midnight. But I think the bell was ringing. So were they too late?
We don't know. And I think that might have been inserted in for dramatic purposes.
Maybe.
Or perhaps did they not do it in time? And then are the traitors going to be reprimanded for them not completing their mission that they were tasked with? It's hard to know.
I would love to see Claudia walk in at breakfast and be like, well, the traitors were meant to murder in plain sight last night, but they did not complete their mission.
Oh yeah.
God. That would be
and then
lit.
They'll all go crazy thinking, hang on. And also, did Diane take that, pour it into her glass, and like, did she hand it to someone else? Like, we don't know what happened.
I would love if the episode opens with like her about to hold it to her lips, then turn around, look at Miles dead in the eye and go, you traitor, and fuck it in his face.
Or she's about to hold it to her lips and she's like, I'm not drinking this shite, and just walks out of the room, gets in her Jeep and goes back to the travel lodge.
Oh, I hope she doesn't drink it.
Same.
Or and that it's too late.
If she does, I hope that there's a twist within a twist that the traitors don't know about, which we will talk about in our thoughts and theories that someone has cleverly posted about. And I'm here for it if that is the case.
Oh my God, that's next.
So exciting.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, Brendan, thoughts and theories now. What's going on? What's everyone saying?
Yes, okay, let's start with some of your voice notes that you have very kindly sent to us on our website, shrinepodcasts.com. First up, Sarah has an issue with the gals.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller, absolutely loving the podcast. My biggest gripe with this season, and it's just driving me demented, is how utterly useless the girls are. They are as thick as shit. I cannot cope. Genuinely believe that Charlotte and Evie and Jasmine like are just dumbing down the faithfuls. Jasmine's obsession with Anthony on the platform, I mean, I need to watch that back. What the hell did he do that was so different to how he was for the rest of the season? And I mean, she would not let it go. It was just like, oh God, get over it. Charlotte and her just obsession, absolutely wetting herself over Paul constantly, is just a bit cringe at this stage. When Evie like pounced on Harry after he voted for Johnny to comfort him, I was like, girls, will you have a chat with yourselves? Claudia needs to bring them into the room and just say, listen, bitches, you are on a TV show called The Traitors. Will you cop on? And even Queen Diana, RIP, yes, she was very confident and very scary, but at the end of the day, she was talking through her arse. So I just really hope there's an improvement on like the females at the round table and just in general, and they all sort of remember the nature of the show that they're in. Please God.
Oh, tell my us God, how you really Sarah. Feel. I'm howling. That's so not funny, but back. She's not wrong, actually.
Do you know what I love, guys? I'd love if we got to see the clip, a flashback clip of Anthony at the train station. I just don't remember. I know they don't really do that, but I'd love to have seen the way they keep talking about that.
Yeah.
Maybe the girls are speaking up more, but we're not seeing it because of the edit. But also, I think that the faithfuls are just being played by the traitors too well. That's just the problem. It's not even like a girls or boys situation. I think the faithful just together collectively, the people who are speaking out are getting killed. And it's really, do they not see that it's obvious? But maybe it isn't when you're in there, you know,
When you're in there, here is Emma on Diane's face.
Oh my God, the end of that episode. I can't believe we might lose our Queen Diane. I can't believe it. I don't want her to die. I can't cope. I am in complete denial that she might be murdered. But I do think there is a chance that she's survived. I think she might have given the chance to somebody else, which I would actually love to see as a different twist. But I also think she might have just looked at the chalice and completely denied it, because I made a note of looking at all of the glasses in the last few minutes of the episode, and they're all quite modern, quite standard, like just generic glasses. None of them look like the chalice, and I think Diane is a very smart woman, and she would look at the chalice and go, something's not right, I'm not going to take it. And just on a personal level, like, the chalice looked very dirty, it looked rusty, it looked old. It didn't look very hygienic. Like, if somebody offered that to me, I'd be like, no, no thank you. Or I would pour it into a different cup. So I'm hoping that there's a chance that that's what Diane's done, because I need her to survive. I need her to keep going. I think even if she does survive this murder, I think chances are she will be the next one to be killed off. But just for her to stay for one more episode, I would be thrilled with. Love the podcast, guys. Bye.
That's a very fair point. If you're in a game called The Traitors and you know that, like, you know, you watched last season, there was the kiss of death. If you're drinking out of clear glasses all night and then somebody suddenly offers you this, like, black glass chalice, you're kind of going to be like, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially so late in the night. And you're like, I don't even want that glass of rosé now. I'm grand. Sure, the clock's chiming. I'm grand. I'm going to bed. But also, wouldn't it be such a shame? And I think we all feel this way. If Diane does get murdered and she's gone and we don't get the Ross and Diane reveal that we've all been hoping for, it would just be so devo. We'd all be devo that we don't get to see that play out on TV with the two of them there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm dying to see if she puts it to her lips, if she doesn't, what happens, if it was too late. Yeah, like really, really dying to find out what happens to Diane. Okay, so up next, we have another voice note from Kian from Sissy That Pod. Now, listen to this. Kian's got some info, right, about how one of the traitors from last season was found out.
I was reading an article in the Metro with Tom from season one, who was the magician guy. And he was talking about how the group found out that Alyssa was a traitor. And apparently they were doing impressions of Claudia Winkleman. And when it came to Alyssa to do an impression, she said, "Hello, traitors." And then the whole group were like, "We've never heard her say that." And then it was pretty clear that Alyssa was a traitor and they all voted her out. That's why it felt so sudden last season. So there's obviously this rationale that the group has that they don't show us, which makes sense because there's like so many conversations and they can only show us so much. So I think at the moment the group have kind of like agreed that whoever the three traitors works, they probably think there's three, there was at least one man and at least one woman, and then the third one is kind of up for grabs. So I think they're like, okay, we definitely have confirmed a woman, and now they're looking for at least one man, because that's what all the people who are being suspected are men at the table the last two nights. And that one woman has been mentioned as a suspect or anything like that. So I think that's why they're doing that, and that's why the traitors are killing women, because they know the women are safe from banishment at the moment, because the group are just looking for men. So I think that's what's going on at the moment. I really hope Diane isn't gone, but I mean, what other way for a mum to go out than having some sparkling rosé? What a legend, what a queen. I can't wait to see her on other reality shows in the future. But who knows, maybe she last minute passed the rosé off to somebody else.
I actually love knowing that that's how Alyssa was caught last year. That's so funny.
Oh my God, amazing. And so thank you for that, Kian.
I just love the voice notes so much.
Yeah, the voice notes are great. Thank you so much for all your voice notes. You can send them to us on our website, shrinepodcast.com. Okay, to your emails, shrinepod@gmail.com. Tommy D says, I just don't think Diane's murdered. Surely the editors of The Traitors wouldn't leave the Friday episode on such an obvious cliffhanger. Maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part, but I would love to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think she's a goner?
I did at the start. And now the more I think about it, I'm like, that glamorous woman didn't drink out of that cup. It looked like it came out of one of the graves. So I'm not sure now. And there was an edit in the coming soon. But it's Paul saying to someone and he's like, "Come on, man." But I was like frantically writing my notes. And I thought it was Ross saying, "Come on, mum." And I was like, "Oh, she's still in it." So I don't know. I hope, as much as I want her to go out because of Fizzy Rosé,
I also want
her to stay in, but it's iconic, isn't it? So what do you guys think?
I don't know. I'm really hoping there's a twist.
Yeah, same. And I think that the big thing is that her son's in there and we're not going to get that big reveal if she is gone. I just think there's more to Diane's story. And even if she's gone as a faithful, is she the one that's going to return at that funeral or something? I just don't think this is the last of Diane. I don't think so.
I don't think
they would have put her and her son in there. I know they can't control the game, the producers and all, but surely they can sway the traitors a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, they
can
nudge it, sort of. Yeah. Well, Pete says, I really hope Miles had somebody else already drink from the chalice before Diane, and he was just trying to double bluff by having others subsequently drink from it too. We can only live in hope. Also, I really hope it was just the edit that the traitors weren't as bad at trying to hide the truth as Prince Charles has for his love of Camilla. So basically what Pete is saying here is when the traitors were trying to obviously discuss who they were going to murder in plain sight, they did about as good a job of it as Prince Charles did hiding his love for Camilla when he said
which
Diana.
Was screaming it into Diane's face and making her just agree to it, basically.
Another email from Matthew Williamson, who says, where to start with poor Diane's likely demise? Trying to look at the bright side and think that murder by Fizzy Rosé is just the iconic exit she deserves, and in that gorge turquoise blazer to boot as well. Yeah, in her little Aer Lingus uniform. I loved it. A DM on Insta, we're at Shrine Pod, Joanne Hardcastle, who Joanne is the person who was on yesterday about the kitchen sink and the little kind of dip in the island. So Joanne says, surely it's got to be the woman with the fizzy rosé in the chalice, Diane, who's gone. And then Joanne is also like, there was a pineapple in the hole with a toaster tonight. Can't wait for next week.
Sorry, that just made me think of, like, they really, really need to invent, like, a camp modernised version of Cluedo. Imagine being like, it was Diane with the fizzy rosé and the chalice in the...
Absolutely.
In the ensuite.
Am I making this up? Did I see somebody on Instagram had a traitor's board game at Christmas?
Yes, because the game is based on a board game. Now, I don't know if they've reboxed it and they've got, like, Wilf and stuff on the box. It's not called The Traitors, but it's... There is a board game that is essentially the premise of this, which, guys, please play with me one night. I'd love it much. And that's kind of where this came from.
Okay. Oh my God. We need to play
guys,
that.
If Diane does go, her first brand deal has to be with Whispering Angel. Like, the woman has
imagine
to.
Imagine her in the ads.
Sign her up
and
for the newsie.
There as well.
Yeah.
Your tweets at TryandPod. Rachel Beacon says, I think Paul's made a mistake by approaching Jazz about what Harry told him. Think he went in too strong, emotionally blackmailing him into agreeing he doesn't think he's a traitor. If Jazz told everyone that at the round table, it could be Paul's downfall. And I'd say it probably will be as well. Anna G says, I kind of wish either Diane or Ross had been a traitor, because watching them try to argue to save the other one without revealing that they're related would be great. Or imagine if one of them purposefully banished or murdered the other. It would be TV gold. I'm still hoping that, like, you know, if Diane doesn't drink out of the chalice, that could still happen. So say if Diane doesn't drink out of the chalice, Paul gets banished, then Miles and Harry maybe need to recruit, if they recruited Diane or Ross and they were both still in. I would love to see that.
Imagine if Diane is enlisted to become a traitor and she tells them, oh, Ross is my son, let's get him to plant this seed or whatever without him knowing. It would be unbelievable. Yeah. Also, in this episode, we did see a moment of Diane saying, you know, that she doesn't know about Ross and, you know, she's a little bit sus about whether Ross. Why is that in there if she's going to just be killed off?
Uh-huh. True. Very true. Carrie. Go on, Hannah.
They do this thing where they, on the Visualized podcast, they show the banished people finding out who the traitors are. So I just wonder, is the only reason they put that in to maybe build drama for that moment when she finds out it's not her son? But I'd love that kind of tension, a small family feud.
I'd love one of those to be made a traitor. Carrie D says, Carrie says D does drink from the chalice, but it's after midnight, so it doesn't count. As a punishment for the traitors, they have to choose for one of them to leave, but because they can't murder each other, they call it something else, like an elimination. Could be a twist.
Guys, I just had a thought there about what you just said about the Visualized podcast that the BBC are doing. Why, or maybe we have because we aren't able to watch it because it's not in the available to us in Ireland, but have they spoken about or shown any of the banished / murdered contestants finding out that Diane and Ross are related? Any of that?
I don't know if they've.
That's what
told
I want to know. Can someone let us know? Because if they haven't, that makes me think that this isn't the last of Diane at all with that storyline. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like if they're showing them who the traitors are, maybe they have spoken about that. Maybe that's. It's just me thinking. I'm like,
Someone called Cuz tweeted to say, maybe this is coping with Diane's loss, but I have a theory the poison will convert faithful to traitor. In Othello, the book that they opened to get the chalice, there was no literal poison used. Instead, symbolically described Lego poisoning Othello's mind to change him. Well, there's someone who's right there, Shakespeare.
Guys, this is my favourite. This is my favourite thought. Now, I've never read Othello. I don't have a clue. But
not a clue.
Imagine if it is murder in plain sight and actually the traitors don't realise that whoever they choose is going to become a traitor.
Also, in Macbeth, guys, you've got the three witches. They're a big part of it. And obviously, we've got the three traitors. And you said, Rebecca, they were like around a cauldron. And this
fair
episode,
is foul,
so, yeah,
and foul is fair.
This is it, Queen. So I think those books were picked for a reason. So we could definitely look into those a little bit more. What was the third one, do we know? Because it was Othello, Macbeth. And
it was a trilogy of some sort. Hamlet, I think so. Yeah.
Hamlet is the ghost and the dad and the ghost dad drama in a castle.
Guys, I couldn't tell you.
I did Macbeth. I don't know.
To be or not to be, that's all I know. sides of it. James Walker says, so maybe actually the chalice was the traitors recruiting someone unbeknownst to them. Are we clutching at gaze draws to deny our loss here? Or could there be something in this? Well, James, you're not the only person to think along those lines. So potentially Diane could be recruited, or maybe she won't drink out of it. I'm still hoping that she'll just fuck it in Miles' face and be like, how dare you try to murder me? Double H tweeted to say, loved how involved Claudia was in the mission. She's the absolute queen of the castle. She got so, like, het up when people were going to be caught by the light. Like, she was just screaming at them. And loads and loads and loads of messages. Thank you for all of your DMs, your tweets, your Instas, your emails for Jazz. Including one from Elaine who says, Jazz is my new hero. There was a lot of praise for Jazz in your thoughts and theories for this episode. So thank you so much for all of those.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't believe we have to wait so many days to find out what happens to our Queen Diane. But
is it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week, Reb?
What you say, hon?
It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week again. Because remember last year they used to change the days slightly each
week. It was all over the shop. You had no idea when it was on.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Grant.
Yeah, so I was having a look this morning because I obviously fell asleep a bit last night and I had to go back and watch some of it. But it's actually good because I was wide awake and alert this morning when I looked at my little Virgin Media box and I could see the little preview for next week's episode. There's a line or two. Will I read it to you?
Go on.
Okay. So it says on my box and probably on everyone's box, for season 2, episode 7. Jesus, I can't believe it's episode 7 already. So the description says, as the traitors complete their biggest challenge yet, the castle is rocked forever by the murderous clan's actions when another fateful faces their death. Now, those three words, faces their death.
We have heard from a very good source that the cliffhanger on Wednesday's episode is something to behold. Now, we have no idea what happens, but if we thought that the Diane Ross reveal was jaw-dropping, apparently what happens, and we did say yesterday that Claudia said she left one of the round tables physically shaking, something happens in the round table on Wednesday that ends on a cliffhanger that we're going to be screaming for. We don't know what
did
it is, though.
Did we hear that as in us three?
Us three, we heard this.
Mm-hmm. Did we hear that off?
We'll never reveal
our
source.
I'll tell you in a second. You've already read it, Beth.
Right.
Anyway.
Half me.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Traitor. So biggest challenge yet and castle rocked forever. So yes, I would say Claudia Winkleman will be shaking, as will we as well. That is it from us. Thank you so much for all your DMs, emails, comments, voice notes. We love your insights and your humour. It makes this show even better. The show is excellent, but the thoughts and theories are just on point. And please do keep them coming in to us at ShrinePod, shrinepod@gmail.com and shrinepodcast.com. Now, if you are enjoying the podcast, you can support us on patreon.com/shrinepod. And we would really appreciate, you know, if you could follow us on Spotify. Don't you follow on Apple as well? And leave us a nice review. Because
we need your review.
We have no reviews since we did feckin' Line of Duty season, whatever.
Will you review us, please?
We'd really appreciate that. To know.
I agree, because I didn't realise how outdated the reviews were and I've actually been shocked all week. So if you all just wouldn't mind, put the kettle on and while it's boiling, just do a review.
Absolutely. We are very excited for next week. We know that something big is about to happen and we hope that you have a stunning weekend in the meantime and have a sip of fizzy rosé or fosé in Hannah's case. Ta-ta!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.